Welcome back to the class Reading and Writing for College Students. We are now beginning Unit 2, the process of understanding and reading. So under this first section, we're going to talk about understanding and relating, meanings. When you look at this picture here, as Christians, we have a particular thought. What do we think about? I'm going to give you a second just to think about that. What is it you think about when you see this picture? You're probably thinking, well, that must be a church in the shape of a cross, and you'd be correct. But there are other ways to think about this picture. Maybe the building is not a church. Maybe they just happened to build the building that way so that it was the best use of space in that particular area. Maybe it just was complete happenstance that they put together and, oh, by the way, it was the shape of a cross. Maybe it was built that way because of some other utilitarian purpose, some other reason for practical reasons that they would make the building this shape. But for those of us who are Christians and realizing that this undoubtedly is a church in the shape of a cross, we understand the meaning of that and we can relate to that meaning. That meaning of that cross for us as Christians should be almost beyond our comprehension, because it is that cross where our Savior died and bled for us. And we understand that we have remission of sins because of that. We understand that without that cross, we all would be eternally and forever hopeless, separated from God forever. In the Middle Ages, when these great cathedrals were built, they built them in the shape of the cross because they wanted to remind the people of that sacrifice of Christ, because they wanted to remind the people that was in the cross that the sacrifice was made. It was in this building where they remembered at the communion table that Christ's blood and body were given for us. And in that understanding, they could relate to Christ and God's gift to us through Christ in a way that was without parallel and many other circumstances. The same thing is true for us when we read. We have to understand and relate all the various meanings of a passage together. The story of the Bible, the story of the cross here, really starts at Genesis, and it will continue on through eternity. In the Bible, we see what's called the meta-narrative as we go from the fall of man, the creation of man and the fall of man, to God bringing Moses and David and Christ coming to the earth to die, bury, and be risen again. And finally to us today, an unbroken narrative of understanding and relating to the meaning of Jesus Christ and the cross that we read in the Holy Scriptures about. And as we read, reading is the same way. We are starting to relate to things. Now, before we get too much further, I want to talk a little bit about the way we store our memories. So neurobiologists have been studying this, how do we store memories, for a long time. And there's actually two different ways that we store memories. And from experience, we know this as well. We have short-term memory and we have long-term memory. The short-term memory, we can put something into our head very quickly and it will quickly also be forgotten. Long-term memory is something goes into our mind and 100 years and the end of our life, we remember that. Now we see that many times, for instance, in strokes, the short-term memory is gone. And so people cannot remember something that happened yesterday, but the long-term memory is still there. They'll remember things that happened in their childhood. Other times, people get older, even if they haven't had a stroke, they won't remember very well what happened even yesterday or the day before, or even a couple hours ago, but they'll remember with clear vividness what happened in their youth. The same thing happens when we're reading. The short-term memory and the long-term memory are going to be utilized when we're reading. There's going to be things that are going into our short-term memory as we're reading that are going to be there long enough to understand them in at least a portion. And some of these things will get put in the long-term memory. And then as the short-term memories and long-term memories of the things we're reading and comprehending and meaning are getting put together, they'll start to associate with other long-term memories that we have. It's like going down a street that you used to walk on as a child and smelling something, a certain smell that brings up a memory into your mind of which you have long forgotten, but that smell brings it back. The same thing happens in reading. We can be reading along. It could be a novel. It could be a textbook. It could be, especially should be, the Bible. And all of a sudden, I understand the meaning now because we've now associated it with something that is in our own experience, a long-term memory in our own experience. We as theologians in this theology class, we have to, as theologians, as people who are teaching others about the scriptures, about Christ, we also have to be able to access those memories of what we've read, of our own experience, especially the long-term memories, so that we are able to share those that with others as well. So there is a portion of this reading that has to go from the short-term memory to the long-term memory. If it doesn't, we will never be able to comprehend what we're reading. So let us consider the passage that we looked at before, the continuation of this passage. So, as you remember, Philip had gone up to the Ethiopian eunuch. He had then asked the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Because the eunuch was reading the passage from Isaiah, in fact, Isaiah 53. And the eunuch said, "How can I understand? I can't relate to it. I can't understand it. There's nothing in this passage that makes sense to me." So let's continue on with the passage after Philip said, asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I understand unless someone explain it to me?" So the eunuch asked Philip, "Please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And the eunuch gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So we read this passage, and while we're reading it, to really begin to understand what's reading, we have to ask ourselves a couple questions. What is the meaning of this passage, and what do we need to understand this passage? Now, this is a Bible passage, so it's very relevant. The same could be true of a textbook, especially textbooks. Many textbooks are going to be very deep. I've read some theology textbooks. In fact, I've read the writings of C.S. Lewis in the past. And I would read one paragraph and I would have to sit and think about it for an hour, because what it was mere Christianity. And what he was reading, saying, was so deep, it took me that long just to digest one paragraph. And there are other writers, of course, that are great thinkers in the Christian heritage, and other types of people that study other things that take a lot of cognitive power to be able to understand and relate to the meanings. But let's look at this passage. What is the meaning of this passage? Have you got an idea? Okay. So let's talk about it. So Philip, if we're going to understand this passage, we have to understand some things about this passage. What is something that this passage does not explain completely that we have to go to other places for? Well, one is the good news about Jesus Christ. It references the good news about Jesus Christ, but as someone who is a non-Christian or doesn't know the Bible, or as a child is reading this, perhaps they don't know what the good news about Jesus Christ is. So that would need some further explanation from the long-term memory, for those of us who are skilled in the scripture, about who Jesus is, about what the good news of Jesus is, the evangel of Jesus Christ, the good news. What about the part about baptism? Why would someone want to stop and be baptized in this? I mean, I remember reading as a child, why would I want to be baptized in some mud puddle along the side of the road? What does that have to do with believing in Jesus? So that also would take going back to some long-term memory of what we've read before in the scripture, of what our tradition that we are involved with in our different denominations teaches. These are things that we have to bring into this passage to begin to understand what was going on here. The fact that it says that the eunuch rejoiced. What was the eunuch rejoicing about? Why was the eunuch so happy about this? Was it because he was dunked in a mud puddle or maybe a creek along the way? No. It's because there was a new presence of Christ in his life, which again is something that we have to understand the meaning of this passage. So as we are going through this passage, we have to be interacting with this passage saying, do I understand things? In fact, in certain types of Bible study, inductive Bible study, we would literally go through this passage and start underlining words that were important. We look up those words. We would look and cross-reference those words with other portions of the scripture. We would maybe go to commentaries and look at the passage. So all these things that we're reading, to really get the real understanding, we have to begin to use not just what we read in the words and hear in front of us, but we have to start to broaden those words to understand the true meaning, to fill in the gaps of words that aren't there, maybe definitions, maybe concepts. And then we have to go and relate it to our own experiences and then relate it to the broader understanding of knowledge in the whole world. This is the process of reading. And to be true students of theology, to be true teachers of the Bible, to be true teachers of any discipline, you have to read in this way. You have to read in depth. You have to read with understanding. You have to read so that you are relating the words relating the meanings of the words to yourself. If you can't relate the words of this passage to yourself, how are you going to be related to others? How can they hear except someone preach it to them, the scripture says? So as college students, you are going to be studying the word of God. You are going to be studying theology, because that's what we're studying in the Christian Leaders Institute, is theology. I teach students at a university, and I watch them study. And there's actually one right now that I have that he's almost got a what's called a laissez-faire attitude. Well, it'll get done. Well, you know what? We can't be relaxed about doing the studying like this. The scripture, as with any other discipline, says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, correctly dividing the word of truth. Here's our college student. Maybe this is you. You got your cell phone with you. You got your tennis shoes on. You got your hat. You're reading the Bible here. You know what? I can tell this is a good college student because what I can see him doing, he's thinking. He's thinking about the words he's reading. He's relating to the meaning. He's relating it to other things in his life. He's using that short-term things that are going into long-term memory from what he's reading and relating it to the other long-term things in his life over here and over there, maybe relating it to stories he's heard, other passages of the scriptures. He's a good college student because he's reading with understanding and he's relating to the meanings. And because of that, now he can relate it to other people that are in his life, maybe in his congregation, the people that he is teaching himself. But sometimes when we're reading, we do get to a point where we start to just say, what does that mean? We start to focus too long and we just sit there and focus and we get in a rut. There are times when we have to also just step back and say, Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to reveal this to me because it's beyond my comprehension. But I know you will give me you because you have promised to reveal all things to me in your word. Finally, as a thought, this is a thought on this. I would like to relate that especially for those of us who are students of the Bible, who teach others in the Bible, the words of the scripture are eternal. The thoughts that we have about them are eternal. For a long time, I remember thinking about why I would hear people say, well, for instance, they dig up the old mummies of the pharaohs out of Egypt, and they were the first time they had been in seeing the world in since 5,000 years. And I'm thinking, no, that's not right. Because that body no longer thinks. That body can no longer read. But there is a part of that body that's immortal, that is either separated to Christ and with Christ now, or separated from Christ in eternity. And those thoughts that we have today are either eternally with Christ when we leave our bodies, eventually be reunited in the resurrection, or they're going to be eternally separated with Christ when to be reunited in the body of the, in the resurrection of unbelievers for eternity separated from God. We have to understand that the thoughts that we're thinking right now on the scripture are important and eternal. They are the most important thoughts about any book, about anything that we could ever have. So I hope that you realize as you're reading that it's because of that, that it's extremely critically important that as we're reading the Word of God, we're not just reading those words as they're going in one eye and out both ears, but they're going into our eyes and getting stuck in our mind and being put into that long-term memory that we can then glorify God with forever. So thank you for this last class. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you for the next class.